that all right? Amen. Very quickly, some have asked about Brother Quinney had put together the financial peace classes. Dave Ramsey, we started that last Wednesday night. Tomorrow night will be the second class. It's not too late to register. That's online. And it is amazing if you have never taken that class. Pastor's suggesting that you try. It is a very, very helpful class. And it's a great time. It's an hour on Wednesday night. It'll be about 11 more weeks. I think 10 more weeks, something like that. Eight more weeks. I'm trying to get it to go further than what it is, Brother Quinney. But I promise you, you will not regret it. I said, you will not regret it. Finances is part of the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. Brother Alba, we want you to just come obey the Holy Ghost tonight. God bless him.
Thank you, Pastor. Come on, let's turn that to the Lord. Can you begin to lift your voice with that right now? Come on, let's give him some high praise. Oh, come on, let's give him some high praise right now.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let it break forth. Come on, let it break out right now. We've come to give you high praise, God. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. As they pull up Hebrews 12, I want to say what an honor and what a privilege it has been to be here. Of course, be home. You're not here much, but this is always home. And to see absolute, probably some of the greatest change I've ever seen has been when I came back in January. What an honor it is to be with Phillips, and our friendship has grown. And Sister Phillips not here, but what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady of God. And if she hears this, tell her prophetess daughter, I said hello. She'll kill me later, but had to put that out there. Thank you for your trust, love, and compassion. You do not know what it means. And I will stop there I will stop so I can preach. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. First Lady, I was probably with the kids, but I want to say again how much I love, appreciate Pastor and First Lady. His friendship, but also his leadership means so much to me. Well, yeah, let's move. Hebrews 12 and 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It may look just a little bit different. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne the testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which does so readily, deftly, and cleverly cling and entangle us. And let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that was set before us. Talking of the race, we can move quickly to Philippians 3 and 12. And again, this will be a different translation. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. What is it? The goal. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. I told Brother Phillips, I'm preaching just basically the translation of what he already preached, but this is what God laid on my heart. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. The picture there is that of a racer stretching out to cross the finish line. Straining forward to what lies behind. I press on towards the goal for the prize of that heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we obtain. Brothers and sisters, join me, join in imitating me, and observe those who live according to the example of you have in us. And if you will help me, I'm going to preach, hopefully for the next few moments, claiming your moment. Claiming your moment. Or you will hear it also this way, pressing through the open door. Can you high five somebody and tell them, come on, get up and get ready and let's go. I didn't see some of you high five on my right hand side. Come on, high five somebody. Tell them, come on, get up, get ready, let's go. You may be seated. Paul would begin to tell the Philippians that you have to learn to forget. You got to forget everything that is behind you. All the things you've achieved and all the things that have gone wrong. What hinders us from running many times is not always the sin, but oftentimes it is the weight. The weight of what you carry mentally, the weight of what you carry emotionally. How then can we forget? The word there, it speaks of forgetting, but also the word picture is speaking of neglecting. How am I going to press on towards the mark when I finally begin to neglect everything that has happened yesterday and make up my mind? The only thing I'm looking for is that what God has laid ahead. I'm neglecting my past, but I'm pressing for revival. I'm neglecting my yesterday, but I know one thing. God has already placed something in this church, and that is what I will focus on. Come on, somebody, you got to make up your mind. Hey, I'm neglecting my past. You leave it there long enough. You don't feed it long enough. It will shrivel up and die. Come on, if you're going to press, you got to quit revisiting your yesterday and say today what God has placed in my heart in this revival. That's what I'm pressing toward. I got to neglect it. Got to forget those things which are in back of me. Yes, they're going to try to follow. But if you neglect them long enough, they will stop trailing you. I'm going to move past this, but just let me lay this foundation. Because as long as we circle back, we'll always keep in remembrance what somebody did to me. What somebody said to me. We'll sing the somebody did me wrong song. But oh, how many times do you love to dwell in the yesterday when the promises of God are yea and amen? It's not that God has forsaken us. It's not that God has removed the promise. But as long as you're looking backward, saying, look what's trailing me, then you're going to forget. God has put something under your feet. And if you leave it there, then you can get where God wants you to be. Come on, your blessing, your miracle, it's not when you look backward. It's when you press towards the mark of the high calling. Come on, there's blessings. There is miracles. There is callings. There is ministry. There are businesses. And God is saying, I want to bless my church. But you got to neglect your yesterday to gain your future. I got to press. I got to fight. It goes on to say, I press towards the mark. The thing God has put in front of you, the enemy is going to tell you he's going to gain victory over you. We love to talk about how the devil tempts us and persecutes us. When's the last time we persecuted him? Y'all gonna think I lost my mind. Why do you think God uses some people powerfully? Because we recognize greater is he that is in us than he that is trailing us. Greater is he that is in us than the one that is under our feet. Oh, man, I didn't want to have to dig. Come on, work with me here. As long as you picking him up, putting him down, he can't chain you. It's when you stop and turn around and spend some time reminiscing that the enemy can try to put some boundaries back on you. But as long as you say, I'm neglecting your little mess. I'm neglecting your little voice. I'm neglecting your little tap. I'm neglecting your little mind. Why don't you go ahead and shut up, devil? I don't got time because I'm pressing. There's a revival there. There's a Bible study there. There's a miracle there. There's a husband and wife coming home. There's a baby coming home. There is revival. I can't do it if I'm looking back. But when I'm pressing, that's when God. Somebody say press. Towards the mark. So when we look at what tries to follow us, we got to bring this back into perspective. It's amazing how big things look when you get super close to it. I mean, you can make a pencil-thin person look fat if you get close enough. You can make a tiny person look big if you get close enough. And so we have to turn to the book of Isaiah. The prophet would pen these words. He would say, thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend unto the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. If you listen to it long enough, you think he's bigger and badder than he really is. What does the next verse say? He said, yet thou art brought down to hell and the sides of the pit. And then the prophet tells us how we should view him. They that see thee shall look narrowly upon thee. When you see him, you got to squint to bring him into focus. You don't got to back up to get a bigger vision. You got to look and you got to squint your eyes and say, wait a minute, that's what's been chasing me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, get your eyes back on right. Quit looking around and start saying, devil, I'm looking at you, but you're real small and I got a big foot and I got a bigger God. I'm not believing it no more. I got to claim my moment. I got to claim my miracle. I got to claim my victory. Come on. Your yesterday, you got to clean at it. You got to squint at it. I don't care what's happened yesterday. Why don't you squint at it? Because it's under the blood. It's under your feet. It's behind you, not in front of you. Your revival's in front of you. Your miracles in front of you. Your blessings in front of you. Your callings in front of you. Learn to squint and say, devil, you lied for the last time. I'm going to neglect you and yesterday. Come on, somebody get a hold of this. You got to claim your season. You got to claim your moment. It's revival in the church. I want to exalt myself above the stars of God. So John the Revelator illuminates Isaiah's Labrida as he scribes and declares the utterance of what the prophet had already said. He explains the battle that you face. It's not always you against the devil. Rather, it's the devil against the pulpit. Revelations 1 and 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the church. The seven stars are the pastor of the church. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so the devil said, I'm going to exalt myself against the pulpit. I'm going to exalt myself against the vision. I'm going to exalt myself against the authority of the man of God in your life. Because I don't need you to backslide. I just need you to believe that the authority coming from the pulpit, it really don't matter. That's why the man of God can say God's going to bring a miracle. And some people say, I really don't believe it. Come on, we ain't going to camp out here too long. We just got to recognize. Come on, it's not the pew against the pulpit. The devil's trying to whisper in somebody's ear. You need to neglect it and say, get thee behind me. And better yet, get under my feet. I ain't going to listen no more. If the man of God says it, if the star of the church says it, then baby, I'm going to put it in the bank. Because if God gave him a word, that is all I need to claim my moment. Devil, you lied long enough. Come on, intimidation, you lied long enough. Come on, hurts, you lied long enough. Come on, bitterness, you lied long enough. I'm going to neglect that so I can claim my moment now. Come on, I'm telling someone right now, it is your season. You got to walk in it. You got to walk through that open door and get what God has. So the battle always contains Kairos and Chronos moments. Brother Long, you're my timekeeper, okay? Because I don't see a clock nowhere, and I don't even know where I'm at right now. We love Chronos moments, the chronological order of things. Today I'm gonna do this. Tomorrow I'm gonna do that. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just hopefully trying to be funny. I got to make sure to give her a dirty look because she looked at me funny 3 weeks ago. I don't know. I have no clue. And because we're so caught up with the Chronos moments, we forget there are also Kairos moments. Kairos moments when God shows up and it wasn't in the timeline. He said things like this. I got meat you know not of. He was telling you there's going to be a Chronos moment where everything's going to begin to change. You see it happen when all of a sudden an angel shows up. Mary. Blessed are thou. Life was going on. People were missing. People were looking for the Messiah. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, an angel shows up. And she claimed her moment. Knowing everything that was going to happen, she said, be it unto thee according to thy will. We were born in sin and shape of iniquity. We had no way to pay the price for our sins. And all of a sudden, a Chronos moment shows up. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. And immediately, everything changed. There's a Kairos moment in this church. God has begun to shift some things and move some things. And if we're not careful, we will enjoy the Kronos moment. Kronos moment, but not the Kairos, because Kairos throws us out of our little comfort zone. I don't want no one to sit in my seat. Maybe have my seat. Go ahead, have my seat. You can go ahead and have it. If there is a Kairos moment, I'm not waiting around for someone to save my little place. No, baby, you go ahead and have it. In fact, I'll kick you out of your seat so they can have your seat too, because I'm going to claim this moment right. I'm not waiting for another season. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of revival. Now is the day of breakthrough. Now is the day of outpouring. Now, come on, I wish I had about 10 people say, come on, I'm about to claim my moment tonight. Run it for me, man. Come on, it's your season. You got to walk in it. You got to claim it. You got to say the man of God said it. I'm going to believe it. Kairos moments are uncomfortable. God shows up with Moses. Moses steps into that Pharaoh and says, let my people go. They got so comfortable in Kronos, they would rather their children be thrown in the Nile than be beat with an inch of their life. But when they finally got on board, they left having pillaged, plundered all of Egypt. What would have happened if they would have said, but you don't understand. I've been a slave all my life. Kairos changes that. You don't understand what I've been through. Come on, this is the argument we give God. Forgive me, Brother Phillips, there's nothing against you. I mean, it's not a backhanded joke. But you don't understand, God. I'm Moses. I can't do that. And right in the middle of it, let my people go. Started throwing dust in the air, and things start showing up. Do you understand? In your Kairos moment, God brings gifting to the church that changes everything. Come on, he's not waiting only for the man of God to do it. He said, I want to impart in you some gifts. I want to impart in you some abilities so you can claim your moment. And we won't only have a 5-soul revival. We'll have a 50. We'll have a 100. We'll have a 1,000-soul revival. You've got to learn that when the waters are stirred, I got to claim my moment. The problem is, we're about to transition. To find the total problem that many of us face, we got to move to Malachi. And we say this when we give the offering. I'm not against it. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. We love that scripture, but you don't get everything at the window. A dude try to crawl through your daughter's window, hopefully you kill him. I didn't hear an amen from back over there in the green. Come on, give me a loud amen. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, okay, I'm waiting on that. A thief come in through the window. My wife just got on to me right now. Be nice. If a thief come in your window, hopefully you kill him. As a guy in Florida said, save taxpayer money. Oh, y'all got real quiet. I guess we got a bunch of thieves up in here. Well, I ain't got it in my window. We want to serve God in the window. You don't take ownership in the window. You get scraps out of the window. I'm making some of you uncomfortable. Well, we don't get victory in the window. There you go. Thank you. I got to buy that one to the message. You'll fall out of the window and die in the middle of it all. If you try to get in through the window, the same as a what? We want to rob our way into victory. We want to rob our way into revival. He never said, I'm opening this window. He said, I'll pour out my blessing. But he didn't say you could come in the window. I didn't mean to have to dig. I was hoping half of you were with me. He tells the church of Philippi. Go to Revelations. He told me, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. And I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. You don't get that in the window. And so many people are satisfied living on the blessings of the window, but never supping with God. Do a little bit of study and you'll find out that when kings begin to give things, they never did it standing. They always did it sitting. I will come in and I will sup with him. He don't do that standing up. You do that sitting down. When the king shows up and sits down, now you have everything you need. The king ain't going to sit by the window and throw you out miracles. You're going to do it when you're in the house. Go to the next one, sis. We find Paul would write to the Corinthians. He said, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a great and effectual door is open unto me. Then he gives a little comment there. He goes, and there be many adversaries. The reason we don't claim our moment is because we see the adversary and we forget that the door is not a small door. The word "the great and effectual" literally speaks of it is a mega door and it is an active door. In other words, God's saying, I don't care if there's adversaries there. I made it big enough for you. I made it powerful enough for you. I did enough for you. You got to make up your mind. I'm not leaving, devil, until I get through that open door and I get everything God has in store for me. Come on, this is your moment. How many are saying, I'm going to get up and I'm going to press until I get past where I've never been before? One more time. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord right now. When you're standing by the window, you don't see what's on the inside. I don't want to live on someone throwing scraps out the window when there is a table that can be set before me. John the Revelator, he would write, he would say, I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, this part should get to us. Then he would say this, "For I know that thou hast little strength." When God opens a door, he doesn't care if you got a little strength. So many of you, you beat yourself up. I can't be used. I got little strength. I can't be used. You don't know what scars I carry. I can't be used. I'm not highly educated. I can't be used. My mama did this. I can't be used. My daddy did that. I can't be used. So-and-so said I'm not worthy. I can't do this, and I can't do that. And God goes through John, and he goes, "Hey, I opened a door for you, and I know you got a little strength. The only difference between you making it and you not is you don't deny my name. And if you will," I'm not trying to add to, "but when God gives a word, you better not deny that word either, because his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever." You got to say, "Wait a minute. If God said I can, then baby, I'm getting through it. It ain't my strength anyways. It all belongs to him." If you got the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter your scars. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in you. Corinthians, Paul would write, "For after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Not only do we fight with people, but we also fight with spirits. I fought with opponents. I fought with adversaries of fear and adversaries of the unknown and adversaries of pain and hurt and past and health issues and family issues and anxiety. I fought with all of that. And yet, I was able to push myself through that open door." We want to be dragged through the door. When God's saying, "I know there's stuff there, but you ain't denied my name. I know there's wild beasts there, but you haven't denied my name. I know there's hurts there, but you haven't denied my name." The key between making it and not making it is pressing, irregardless of what adversaries are lying to you. Philadelphia was the youngest of the seven churches. I don't got time to go all through it. It was a place of prosperity. The reason why Philadelphia was there was to cause everybody else to change their culture to that of the Greeks. So powerful were they that the town, that town and the local towns next to it, history says that they forgot their culture and even their own language. So powerful was Philadelphia. They were a blessed people. A small congregation. One that had no power and authority to speak of. The angel shows up and says, "These are the words of the Holy One, the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open." For I know the record of your works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you an open, a door wide open, which no one will be able to shut. I know you have little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and not denounced my name. Here we go. Take note to those who are the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not. This is the part I like. Can you go to the next verse, please? Oh, no, no. Yeah. No, next one, I'm sorry. No, I apologize. I'm losing it. It's the red. It's getting me. Can you go back? Behold, they say they're Jews and they're not, but lie. How cool is God when God, because of John the Revelator, and I will make them come. You got just a little bit of strength. But you've not denied my name. And when it's all said and done, God's going to grab that adversary and he's going to march him right in front of you and make him bow down in front of you. And he's going to say, hey, this is my baby and you are not. I will make him worship before your feet and to know that I have loved thee. Don't buy the lie. God loves you. You got to press a little bit and it won't be too much longer. He'll start dragging your devil right in front of you. You better bow down. You better worship. You better bow down. You've done it long enough. I'm stripping you of your power and I'm giving you your victory. You claim your moment and watch what God will do. Well, they bring out the thug in me. And when you come to the West, bow down. But y'all don't know about that. Sorry, it just came out. From way back in the day. But it's going to bow. But it won't bow on this side of the door. It only will bow on that side of the door. Lord says, I'm going to make them come. You ain't got nothing to do about it. All I want you to do is get through the open door. And I'm going to make them show up. I'm going to make them show up. That husband that said, I'm never going to come. There's going to be a day he's going to come. And he's going to begin to worship God and say, I see it. So we stand between two places. Revivals. No, revival ain't over. The door just opened up. Am I right? It ain't over. You finally got on your feet. It ain't over. You finally recognize, hey, wait a minute. God is doing something in this place. God is doing something in my city. God is doing something. Now, devil, get out of my way. Now it's time for revival. Now it's time for Bible study. Now it's time for miracles. Now it's time for signs. Now I'm going to claim my moment tonight. Come give them hope, sis. I'm going to make them show up and bow. Devil's going to walk up in here, and next thing you know, before he even can do anything, tears are going to stream down their face. Sick's going to walk in and lift their hands during song service, and God's going to heal them. You didn't even know they were ever sick. Has it happened before? When's the last time you saw him get up out of a wheelchair? When's the last time you watched cancers fall off? You got to take that nasty thing and put it in the trash can. When's the last time they got the Holy Ghost in the pew and not one person laid a hand on them? If it ain't happening, you ain't in your moment yet. When's the last time you walked down the aisle and your shadow began to heal people? Then you ain't claimed your moment yet. If God did it back then, God will do it today. We just got to get past that door of saying this is the way it's always going to be and say, no, no, no. If God did it back then, God is bound to do it right now. I got to get my moment and say, God, I believe you are going to move if I can press beyond my comfort zone. Stand with me if you will. So we got to claim what God sets before us. No one's here to push me. No one needs to push me. 100 bucks in my pocket, I tell the shortest of you, if you get past these big dudes, you can get it. I promise you, they will find a way to push through. You want to try it? Well, we could try it if someone wants to cough up 100 bucks. I find a little dude, little young lady. If you can get past these big dudes, you get it. They'll punch and scratch and pinch and kick and do whatever they got to do for that 100 bucks. And yet we'll sit on this side and listen to the voice of one we should be squinting at. Who are you again? What do you say? Dude, you a chump. When's the last time you got up in the morning and give the devil a preemptive? Just get up. No, we wait. We wait for his voice. Oh, see, there it is. I didn't get my miracle. I really didn't get what God said. But maybe Brother Phillips missed it. Maybe he meant, if you ever told him to shut up. I know, sorry folks out there. My California's coming out. I already rapped earlier today, so just forgive me. If we ever told him to shut up and told him really to get behind us and then start ignoring him and start pressing. Come on, help me out, Brother Tim. And start pressing and say, no, I'm not walking that way no more. God already gave me a word. God already said there's an open door. And so if God ain't going to shut it, there ain't nothing the devil's going to do. I got to press beyond and say whatever's happened yesterday, I'm going to leave it there because my promise is there. My Bible study's there. My miracle's there. My healing is there. I don't care if you've always been whatever, shy, insecure, broken. I don't care. The door is not only for the perfect. Well, if you can be perfect, you can get through. No. He chose the littlest church. He chose the youngest church. He chose the weakest church. And never said a negative thing about him. No big edifice. No big bus ministry. No big bank accounts. The only thing God looked at, you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. Who are you? In this house, and you say, God, I want you to use me. But every time you get there, you start lying to yourself, saying, but I'm weak and, and I'm hurt, and I'm this, and I'm that, but yet you're faithful to church. Yet you're faithful to worship. And God's going, you don't understand. You've not denied my name. You've kept my word. You've been faithful. I know you've been dealing with the adversaries, but you don't understand. If you'll press a little bit, I'll start flicking them out of the way. If you press a little bit, you'll start seeing it different. If you press a little bit, you'll recognize that what I've been lying about, I got to squint now, and I got to shout on him. I got to dance on him. I got to let the world know my God still is on the throne. I got to press. I got to press. Don't rip my jacket, okay? Please don't rip my jacket, okay? I don't got very many, but somehow hang on the back. Dude, act like it's going to get you some money. Okay, yeah, get a hold. Come on, find a place to grab onto me. Yeah, do what you got to do. Come on. We're so busy with this. Well, I want to shout, but get thee behind me, devil. Forgive me. Shut your lying mouth. Get away from me, you little imp. My door is right there. And they try to follow. Okay, don't grab on because I'll punch you this time because I've been the Holy Ghost now. So I'll punch you this time. You can tap though, okay? You can tap. And they try to tap on you and get your attention. But if I neglect it long enough, and if I keep marching long enough, God's going to say, hey, you've done your best, but now you got to bow. And now that thing has been lied to. God said, it got to bow. You got authority. Now I can use you in that area. When you're going to press, be on that open. Come on, some of you have been trying, but you keep quitting. Don't give up the fight. Claim this very moment for yourself. If you want to press, be on that open door. Step out of your pew quickly. Get in the aisle. Just get in the aisle. Not in the front. Get in the aisle. Just get in the aisle. Get in the aisle. Come on, press. Come on, get yourself in the aisle. Can I use the platform, Pastor? The first ones I want. I know it's going to get uncomfortable. The first ones I want are the ones that you've been trying, but you've been feeling like every time the adversary somehow got a hold of your mind. You've been dealing with shame. You've been dealing with guilt. You've been dealing with brokenness. You've been dealing with insecurities. You're the first ones I want. I want you to make your way, and I want you to press your way. And when you hit these steps and you get on this platform, I want you to tell the devil, this is my mind. This is my moment. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Walk up those. No. Walk up those steps. Come on. Get out of your comfort zone. Walk up those steps. Come on. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. No. Don't you dare face that wall. I want you to face the congregation. Because when it's all said and done, when they walk in, you're going to say, God, you're going to use me for what I've got victory over. Come on. God's about to deliver somebody from your cigarette addiction. Come on, I got to press. Be on the open door. Come on, everybody else. You want to be used. Why don't you make your way up front and say, there's going to be a revival. There's going to be a revival. And I'm going to be part of it. But I got to press. Be on that door. Come on, hurry. Come on, hurry. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Now is my time. Make your way. Come on, there's enough room. Make your way. There's enough room. Come on, get up here. If you want to be used in this next revival, make your way up front.
will find a place for you. Make your way up front. Devil, you thought, but it's my season. It's my moment. It's my door. It's my city. And it's my revival. Come on, leaders. Come on, leaders. Why don't you begin to worship? Why don't you claim your moment? Why don't you take authority in the name of Jesus and say, from this night forward, we will be part of the revival God has in store for the church.
Hang on a second. We'll probably have to negate this. Now, don't look at your neighbor when you do this. But turn around and look right behind you. And practice with me. Shut up, devil. Look at the other side. And say, shut up, pastor. When you walk through that door, I don't go a lot into my history, but I got a pretty messed up history. I ain't really embarrassed of it. It's just, why dig it up? I mean, it's there. And for years, I'd already been preaching conferences. And every time I went to stand up, Brother Main, I could hear it. If they knew who you were and what you'd done, they'd laugh at you. And then the day came when Bishop grabbed me and he said, son, quit being insecure. And he read my mail, and something fell off that night. And I recognized it wasn't my yesterday, but it's what God had chosen me to do that made all the difference in the world. How many soul winners do we have? Well, dear God, that's the problem. That's my problem right there. How many soul winners do we have? If you breathe, then you a soul winner. Might as well raise your hand. How many soul winners do we have? Yeah, you too. Raise your hand. I'm looking at you. Yeah, raise your hand. There we go. How many prayer warriors do we have? How many do you want? How many of you want God to use you in a mighty way? Then right now, why don't you go ahead and in the Holy Ghost, because you up front, I don't want no one to fall off. In the Holy Ghost, why don't you go ahead and say, as this is a place of authority and this is a place of an open door, I'm about to step in the Spirit and say, God, I'm going to press my way through here in a moment, and I'm going to claim it. I'm going to be part of it, and I'm going to let you use me in any way. Come on, why don't you do it right now? Why don't you do it right now? It's your moment. I don't care what the adversary says. He may be in front of your door, but there ain't nothing he can do. You can press your way. You can dance your way. You can praise your way. You can believe your way right through the open door into what God has called you to do. Why don't you start worshiping God right now? Why don't you start worshiping God? Come on, somebody. Begin to worship. Begin to praise Him. Begin to believe that this is your moment. One last thing. One last thing and we're done. Gilbert, you didn't tell me what time it was. One last thing and we're done. I know I had you walk up there. Some of you, that's the only exercise you get. You walk through the door. And now you take ownership of your area. It's my door. But I can walk on the inside and stand there and never claim what God has for me. Well, I'm here, God. I feel it already. Now, our next step. Is we're going to step out into what God wants us to do. Are you ready? Go ahead. Hang on. Before you hit this floor. I know we're ending with a dance. You can dance your way into a miracle. You can give your way into a miracle. You can praise your way into a miracle, but you'll never whine your way into a miracle. Oh, come on, folks. I'm not trying to be mean. I have to live it first. It's okay. Y'all look at me real funny. I'm going to step out. Step. Okay, God. I don't have to feel it 100%, but I do got to believe it 100%. I don't have to have goosebumps running up and down my back to believe God's going to do it. I just got to walk in faith. How many believe you need goosebumps before you believe God can do it? How many? Raise your hand. You believe, okay, you need goosebumps? Brother Purdy, blow on the back of his neck so he gets some goosebumps. Okay, now he can have faith. Okay, now you got faith? Okay, now you got faith. Good. You need goosebumps to believe it? If so, just blow on them, okay? And they'll have faith right then and there. Faith doesn't need, faith will invoke emotion, but doesn't always need emotion. It needs you to step out and say, God is going to do it. Are you ready to step? When you step off this platform this time, I want you to step out with a shout, and I want you to step out with a dance. And I want you to say, God, thank you for what you are doing for this congregation and what you're doing for in my life. And watch God begin to open doors in the very near future. Some of you's already doing it for some of you. Watch him begin to open doors in the area of your future when you begin to take your moment. Come on. Can you step out right now? Begin to play. Now it's up to you now. When you finally step out, it's time for you to dance. It's time for you to claim it. It's time for you to believe it. And it's time for you to walk in and let God begin to fulfill every promise he's been given to this church over the last 10 months. Come on, church. It's up to my God. There it is. Come on. Come on, someone just got it right now. Come on, someone just shifted right now. Come on, someone just stepped into it right now. It's your moment. It's your moment. It's your moment. It's your moment. Come on, say to God, you've been given all kinds of promises. Now walk in and take it. Now walk in and claim it. Now walk in. Come on, when you walk in, the stronger man is there. Come on, when you walk in, you're going to bind the strong man. You're about to strip away his authority. When you walk in, you're about to claim your moment.
I won't turn back. I won't.
Come on, it's on you now. Come on, get it. Get it. Get it.